So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you are present with us, that you never leave us without your word. And we as your people are hungry for your word. So help us now, Lord, to speak your word and to listen to the word that you would bring forward. We praise your name. Amen. Well, I'll start with a question which might be a bit of a confronting question, but you don't mind, do you? Well, some people said yes, but others most said no, it's okay. The confronting question is very simply, when was the last time you shared your faith with somebody? Just think about that for a moment. The last time you shared your faith with another person by actually speaking something of your faith to that person. Do you want to just share that with the person next to you for a second? When was the last time that happened? Did it ever happen? That's challenging, isn't it? Okay. Okay, that's okay, fine. You don't have to tell them the whole story. I know the place is full of evangelists and you've been evangelizing all week, I'm sure. But I just asked the question just in case someone had forgotten, you know, that was like our primary duty. It's interesting listening to St. Paul, isn't it, in the second reading where he says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." Woe to me. Why does he say that, I wonder? I don't think it's because he's thinking, well, he's going to get smitten by God if he doesn't proclaim the gospel. I don't think that's the reason. I think it's because he feels he wouldn't be true to himself if he didn't proclaim the good news. Why? Because he's received so much. And out of gratitude, he knows he must speak to share this gift with others, this wonderful treasure of our faith. It's not meant to be sort of hidden and closed just to myself as I have my own private thing going with God. But it's meant to be shared. Like anything that's really good and beautiful, it sort of will dry up if it's just kept to itself, but then if it's shared, it's a beautiful way in which we ourselves grow when we share what is the precious gift that's been given to us. You know, if you as a person become very introverted and just think of yourself all the time and all your problems and difficulties, etc., you don't grow, do you? But if you as a person go out of yourself, sharing who you are with others, then you start to grow. That's a dynamic of personal growth. And it's true about our faith too, because it's part of who we are. It's actually the deepest part of who we are, really, the faith. Now, some people's faith is so deep that they find it hard to get in touch with it. And so consequently, they don't have anything to say when the mouth starts to move. So you do need to get in touch with it, you know. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have faith. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't had an experience in some way deep within yourself of the wonder of God and the goodness of who he is and the beautiful gift that's been given to you in Jesus. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have something of that within you, even if it was hard to articulate it, if it was hard to speak it out. It's there within you. And so don't become a frustrated Catholic, frustrated because you've never spoken it out, really expressed it in a beautiful way. You know, if this arm here, right, if it was like representing my faith life, thank God it's not, but if it was, right, and we bound it all up with some rope or something and left it there for a long time, what would happen to the arm? It would atrophy, wouldn't it? I think atrophy is the right word, so that when you did take the binds off eventually, it couldn't move. You'd be sort of like stuck. That's an image for what I feel some Catholics are. Not folk here, of course, but like others, where we might be bound up a little bit inside ourselves, and we need to be released of that bondage so that we can be free. And, you know, I have the freedom, like this arm going backwards and forwards, I've got the freedom to speak. There's such a thing as the gift of utterance. The gift of utterance. Have you ever heard of that gift? Yeah, okay. It came at Pentecost, didn't it? When the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, they received the gift of utterance. Before that, the apostles were tongue-tied. They couldn't speak. Now, it put them in a difficult situation. They wouldn't be able to share their faith or to defend their faith or to speak about the goodness of God. They'd just sort of go to silence and be shut down. But with the Holy Spirit coming upon them, they were opened up in a beautiful way. They were set free and given a gift of utterance where they could speak with conviction of the joy of the Lord. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, huh? And we're meant to be joyful proclaimers of the good news, huh? Not walking around sort of looking with our eyes down and when occasions arise where we could say something, we just shut up for fear. No, we're meant to be proclaimers of the good news. And there's a certain urgency about it. It's in the Gospels today where Jesus himself, you know, it says that he went off to this lonely place and he was obviously praying to the Father. And the people wanted to sort of have him settle down in Capernaum, which was like his hometown, as it were. You know, he grew up in Nazareth, but he actually adopted Capernaum. It was his sort of the town he liked most. And so it would have been very attractive for him to sort of settle down there, the comfort zone, huh? But he went off to pray, and we're told that the people came looking for him. This account says it was just the apostles, but in Luke's account it says all the people came looking for him. They're pressing him to sort of come back. Look, we'll set you up here and you'll have a nice little ministry here and everything will be fine. But Jesus had been listening to the Father and he says, let us go elsewhere. He says this to his apostles, to the neighbouring country towns, so I can preach there too. That is why I came. And Luke says, has Jesus saying, that's the reason I was sent. That was what I was sent to do by the Father. He's listening to what the purpose is for his being here. He's sent to bring good news. He's sent to let people know they don't have to fall into deep, dark depression and stay there. That there's good news that we don't have to be bound to patterns of sin that sort of find ourselves in addictions that we can't get out of. There is a good news where we can rise above that part of ourselves that seems to drag us down and make us less than human. There's good news because Jesus has come into the world. And then here Jesus wants to bring the good news of this kingdom of God and knows he must bring it, that God's love is breaking into the world. And with his love, when it breaks into our hearts, comes a whole new freedom and joy and peace and a lifting of the anxieties of life that previously could so hold us down and oppress us. This is the gift of God. Now, we live amongst the people in this culture who predominantly are blind. They live in darkness. You know, the fool says there's no God, and yet there's an increasing number of people in our society who don't really aspire to any God at all. In fact, in the last census, I'm told, that when they took out categories of religious affiliation, the first category, of course, like Christian was the biggest, of course. Then after that, the biggest category, and it's the growing category rapidly, is those who subscribe to nothing. They subscribe to no faith. We're living in an age where there's an increasing darkness happening on the minds of people today. And we are the ones who've come to know the light. We've come to know Jesus, We've come to know that inbreaking of the kingdom, that reign, that rule of God in our lives. We know that. That's what we're here celebrating. We've got our hands up in the air. We're rejoicing. I don't know what you're doing. Are you just sort of like frizzing away? Or are we really rejoicing because of the redemption that we know has been won for us in Jesus Christ? We're giving thanks to God and giving him the glory. And then, of course, out of that same gratitude, we go out. That's what Paul was getting at. And not only gratitude, it's also love. Because he's fallen in love with Jesus. Now, he's really discovered the treasure in the field that so fills him with joy that he's willing to let go of everything else to really have that treasure. And that's us too. Or is it? Is it that that's who we are? That we are meant to be that people? If we haven't yet discovered that love, then maybe tonight is the night to discover. It's certainly the night to open our hearts to this infilling of God's immense love in the power of his Spirit, so that there's a new joy in our hearts and a new freedom to proclaim the good news, to share with others, because really it's the best gift I could bring to anyone. Now, Peter really stepped out. He shared it with his mother-in-law. You know, have you ever talked to your mother-in-law about Jesus? People tend to struggle with their mother-in-laws, don't they? But Peter actually brought Jesus to his mother-in-law to lay hands on her because she was sick, and of course she experiences the healing. And that brings such a gift. And that's the second thing I wanted to say, is that when we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus, it's good to be aware, of course, that Jesus didn't just go out and preach. He also ministered healing. And we live in an age where people are suffering a lot interiorly. There's a lot of relational breakdown. There's a lot of people experiencing rejection because of, in the marriage it didn't work out or whatever. There's a lot of people sort of suffering from one calamity or another. And in that circumstance then, when you get beyond the sophisticated veneer of Canberra society, underneath there's an underbelly of great pain and suffering that comes out only occasionally. But we as priests see it. And I don't know whether you've seen it, but it's right there, right? And so the good news of Jesus goes right into that pain, the deepest pain of the heart. You see, you heard something of it in poor old Job there, where he says, you know, it's all just press service and hired drudgery, public service sort of stuff. like the slave sighing for the shade, or the workman with no thought but his wages, huh? And he works just to get the wages at the end of the week and then gets out of there as quickly as possible, tries to sort of have a fun weekend and go back to drudgery. A lot of people experience it like that, don't they? Months of delusion, he says, I've assigned to me. Nothing for my own but nights of grief. A lot of people suffer from sleep, not having enough sleep, sleep deprivation, huh? Don't they? The anxiety that's in there, it can be quite deep. And you know, when we come to know Jesus and the peace that he brings into our heart, that's the best way to sort of get a good sleep, I reckon. And it certainly isn't the only answer to it, but it's really important that when we come to know the love of God in Jesus Christ and come with that deep security in our heart, that healing love that he can bring. Now, don't know if it's still on the radio, there used to be a guy called Dr. Feelgood, right? Dr. Feelgood. But, I mean, Jesus isn't a Dr. Feelgood, because sometimes you don't feel very good, but at the same time, he is the healer. And he does reach into the depth of your heart way beyond where any surgeon could go, way beyond where any psychologist could really sort of unravel. He goes into the depth of who you are. The Spirit of God goes right in there. And we said it, didn't we, in the responsorial psalm. We said it, I don't know, did you mean it? Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Huh? Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. And elsewhere in the Psalms, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. The crushed in spirit he saves. Do you believe that? He's close to the brokenhearted. If you're sitting here tonight feeling quite brokenhearted, then just know the Lord's arms are around you. He's close to you especially. And the crushed in spirit he saves. I think I told you the story before, but it sort of for me was like it's a symbolic story. I've got permission to tell this. Of a lady who came here one time and she stopped me after the Mass and she said, look, I want to tell you this story that 6 months ago I tried to commit suicide. I'd started to do it. I had all the pills collected and everything because I was so depressed and my life was going nowhere. It was like this thing of Job, you know, life going nowhere. My life is but a breath and my eyes will never see joy again. Now all my hope's gone. That sort of thing. And she said, on the day I sort of closed all the shutters and everything and sat on the couch and I was just about to do it. And I thought, oh, I should say to God, I'm sorry about this. So she said, look, Lord, I'm terribly sorry that I'm about to kill myself. And of course, at that moment, she got the sense of an inspiration. She was to open up her Bible. So she had a Bible in the bedroom. She went and opened it up. And it fell open on that text from Isaiah, which says, do not be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine. And she said, I couldn't do it. And then she said, I knew that you had a healing mass down there that Friday night because I'd seen a flyer or something. And so she came down to the healing mass. And she said, at the end of the mass, I just went up to the priest and I didn't know what to say. And he said, what do you want prayer for? And she said, a broken heart. And so he just put the hands on her and just prayed for a broken heart. Now, knowing that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit he saves. And she said, I felt a real warmth go over my whole body and a real sense of the presence of God that I'd never sensed before. And she said, all the depression has lifted, the anxiety that was afflicting me in the sense, sure, I've got problems, but I can deal with them now. And I could see from her face that that was the case. You see, the Lord is close to the broken heart and he wants to meet us where we most need to be met. And to show his love for us. And he wants us then to become wounded healers for others so that we're not coming to others out of a sort of like a condescending, sort of we've got it all together type of attitude. But we're coming because we've been healed, that we've experienced the goodness of God. And I know that's the truth of my life. I'm only here because of the healing that's happening inside me. And so I can't sort of look condescendingly upon others who might be struggling in their pain or whatever and say, oh, you poor thing. But I can draw alongside and be with them in that. And they can experience, hopefully, the compassion. Compassion means to suffer with. That we're there to suffer with one another, especially the one that's struggling, to be with that one, to be a listening ear, an attentive presence, just simply there to encourage and to strengthen as best we can. That word compassion is right there about Jesus, right through the Gospels. You know, he's a compassionate one. And here in this text, they brought the sick to him, those who were possessed by devils. The whole town came crowding around the door. And he cured many who were suffering from diseases of one kind or another. He also cast out many devils. But he would not allow them to speak because they knew who he was. So he was there, like just extending himself, allowing the powers given him from God, the Father, to be able to be flowed through him to whoever was there coming to touch him. And right through the Gospels we see this happening. And Jesus lives today in his church, in us. We're the community that people will come to. Come hungry out of need for love. Come hurting, and the need for healing. And we need to be that welcoming, warm, hospitable place where people can come and find the acceptance that maybe they couldn't find anywhere else, and find that healing touch and sense of belonging, and be lifted up in their own sense of dignity and worth and value as a human person. That's the sort of church that we're meant to be. Not just out after our own gain, come and get another spiritual fix here at 7 p.m. Mass, for me personally. No, we come together as a community in love with the Lord and wanting to invite others into our midst, wanting them to experience the beauty and the gift of Jesus like we have, and the healing touch that he brings to others that he's brought to us. So we can give testimony to others about how he has changed our lives and made our lives different because we've opened up to him and let him come into our lives, and that they too can. So the image that the Pope uses is like the church is like a hospital in the battlefield. The battlefield's out there, isn't it? And a lot of people are being knocked over in that field. They've been knocked for six. A lot of people are sort of hurting deeply because of the pain that they've gone through in relationships, or just they've been cut out of a job or whatever that has happened in their lives that's brought them low. And they need to know there's hope. You know, Job eventually found the hope, but at this particular point, he was low, very low, and thinking there was no hope for him at all. And there's many people like that. And we need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and just being there for them and seeking to draw people into an experience of the Lord in whatever way we can. But notice also in this gospel, and this is an important part about this whole message, is that after Jesus had been very engaged in the apostolate and he'd been sort of working hard at sort of bringing people into an experience of God, in the morning, we're told, long before dawn, he got up and left the house and went off to a lonely place to pray. You see, this is very important, that the two go together. The bishop was just preaching on the weekend and he said something that struck me. He said, the ruach of God, the spirit of God, we must breathe in first. We breathe the spirit of God in first through our own personal prayer and a commitment to personal prayer. And then we breathe out the spirit of God, the breath of God, to others in mission. And we share the good news with those who are in our lives who most need to hear that good news. So the prayer will give us the energy for evangelizing. Here we have the Blessed Sacrament present for people to come and be really contemplative, be quiet with the Lord, and be fed and nourished and strengthened by Jesus, his very personal presence here. 70 hours, you can choose any time to come here, but you don't have to come here. You can just be in your own personal private room or wherever it is that you personally pray. But it's so important, isn't it, that we get in touch with Jesus. And get in touch with that deep faith that's there, but maybe it's sort of been covered over by a lot of sort of preoccupations and a lot of habit patterns of thinking that have sort of shut out our awareness of God's presence. So to allow his presence to become more aware of his presence in us. And then once we're aware of that presence, once we know the love, once we're on fire with the love for the Lord, you know, you'll find it so natural and so easy to share with others. So just an invitation that this Mass we might just pray for that we would have the grace to be missionary disciples, that we would have the grace not to just try and contain it all to ourselves. We'd have the grace of finding a way in which our hearts would be enlarged. We go out of ourselves for the sake of others and really find those who are most open to the gospel, and be willing to share the good news with them. And bless his name.